Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm Jason Logan. That good-looking fella right there is top-tier betting analyst Todd Furman. And for the next 600 seconds or so, we're going to dig into NFL Week 10. We've got our bets for Thursday Night Football. We've got our touchdown anytime bets. We've got our two-minute drill bets. Basically, if it's on the board, we're going to be looking at it here in Week 10. Todd, it's been a busy week already. U.S. election, of course, went down last night. Donald Trump wins somewhat convincingly. Kind of lived up to what the betting markets were saying. They said he was the favorite. Books had taken action on Trump, and that kind of, you know, rolled into to bigger numbers later on in the evening. Now, you can't legally bet on politics in the United States. You can here in Canada, where I'm at. You can across the pond, and of course, the offshore guys are going to put up whatever they want. But I've talked to bookmakers in the past about the promise of election betting and political betting, and I wanted to talk to you about it just quickly before we get to football. How big would that handle be on something like the election compared to other big sports, compared to the World Cup, compared to the Euros, compared to Super Bowl? Where would we stand? And do you think we're going to see this political betting be legal in the United States within the next few years?
Do I think it would be massive? There's no doubt about it, especially if you were to put up odds as early as today about who would win the subsequent election in 2028, even before we see a change in power coming in early January. I think the market, the volume would be exceptional. Now, do I think it gets to a point where you can go in and bet it across, you know, in any of the states that have legalized sports betting? Absolutely not. I think it opens a Pandora's box here that people aren't really comfortable with. And we saw a lot of sports betting initiatives still not even get through their individual states because of the way people lean. And so I don't think we get there on a federal level, but I do think it would be absolutely massive. And to your point, you see some of the betting exchanges both in Ontario and the traditional sports books across the pond, et cetera, doing record-setting numbers each and every U.S. election.
Yeah, and it was big for us. It was big news. But we'll get back to football here. Let's get a little break from the politics and get back to football. Before we get going, we ask that if you like what we're doing here on the Sharp 600, please take a couple seconds, rate and review the podcast. If you're checking us out on YouTube, like and subscribe. That way you're not going to miss an episode. You're also going to get all the good stuff that we're putting out on the Covers YouTube channel. We're touching on just about every sport on the board, and there's some great content. The guys are doing excellent work. All right, like I said, let's clear the election anxiety. Let's get this out of here. Let's talk a little something, a little simple. Let's go. 600 seconds on the clock for Week 10. All right, on the heels of last night's election, we're going to start casting some votes here. We're at the midway mark of the NFL schedule. So, Todd, who are you going to vote for when it comes to some of these NFL futures? Let's go. Who are you voting for to be the AFC champions?
I'm going to take a team that has gotten to the top of the mountain a number of years and just can't seem to get over the cliff. That would be the Baltimore Ravens. I like some of the moves they made, and it just feels like this could be their year that they finally make it happen and get Lamar to the big stage in New Orleans.
All right. I said Chiefs. I'm just going to go chalk here. Plus 180 to win the AFC. They're really the only defense I trust right now. And then you got Patrick Mahomes. They don't care about winning right now. I think it's just get to the playoffs healthy, and then they'll do what they need to do. Let's talk. Who are you casting your vote for the NFC champions?
You know, it's interesting you say a team that doesn't care about winning that's undefeated, and now all the talk will start about them going 19-0. But I digress, Jason. The NFC, I'm going to take the chalk here and make a case for the Lions. From an offensive line standpoint, it's arguably the best group in the entire league. Jared Goff playing with a renewed sense of confidence. And I like some of the strides they made defensively, especially picking up a pass rusher. But I'll also give you a dark horse in the same division. Don't write off the Packers just yet. If Jordan Love come back healthy from the bye, this is a team that I think could surprise a lot of folks.
Yeah, I also went Lions here. Plus 210 to win the NFC, and this price isn't going to get any better because they have a softer schedule coming up. They're at Houston on Sunday, but then they play 4 or 5 at Ford Field, and Ford Field is going to be very instrumental. They've gotten a head start on teams like the 49ers because of the Niners' injury concerns and a slow start. So chances are they're going to be hosting an NFC championship game indoors, which is always vital to the Lions. I like them as well, too. So we've got Lions and possibly Ravens or Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Who are you voting for to win the Super Bowl?
I mean, it's going to get trendy, and again, I'll vote for them here. I'm not sure I'd bet them given the current market price, but it just feels like Detroit's year. Everything that they have going on with Aiden Hutchinson there, it would be a no-brainer, but I think this team checks a lot of boxes, and what they showed me last week in inclement weather on the road in a divisional game spoke volumes, especially, as you said, the road to the NFC could go through Ford Field. I'll take the Lions to win the Lombardi Trophy.
All right, I'm going to take a flip. I'm going to say the Chiefs do it again, plus 420 right now to win the Super Bowl. Who was it? Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and you got to beat Patrick Mahomes, and you got to beat the Spags defense right now. I see them adding another ring. Let's look at the playoff picture here. Let's look at the wild card round. We always get a surprise. Who are you voting for as a wild card upset?
So this is a team that I think offers probably the most value on the board, but it wouldn't shock me if they miss the playoffs entirely, given what they have in front of them the next 2 weeks, who we'll get to in just a matter of minutes in Thursday Night Football. The Cincinnati Bengals. This is an offense led by Joe Burrow that, if they get healthy with their skill position players, is dynamic as any team in the league. We know that they can go toe-to-toe with Kansas City. It seems to be the Chiefs, one of their most difficult opponents that they've had to contend with in recent years. And while the defense leaves a lot to be desired, this is a team that, if they get hot, I would not want to see on the other side of the draw. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals offer the most compelling upside and value in the entire NFL.
All right. I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers. They're currently minus 300 to make the postseason cut. This is just a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. They have a good coach. They have a great quarterback. They can take the air out of the football as well, too. And they're going to get some key bodies back on both sides of the football towards the second half of the season. They finish with Tampa Bay, Denver, New England, and Las Vegas. Those are four winnable games that they can get some momentum. And we all know what momentum is worth in the postseason. So I like the Chargers maybe to throw a wrench in that AFC playoff picture. Trade deadline day was finished up yesterday. Some notable moves, and we had some bigger moves early on, but we're not going to focus on those. I say we're going to focus on some of the ones that we saw yesterday. We saw some contenders, playoff contenders, make some moves. People always want to grade these. I'm going to ask you to kind of grade them in terms of, do they move the needle for the betting markets and the futures markets for these teams? We saw Za'Darius Smith go to the Lions, giving them, you know, filling a hole on the defensive line. Does this move the needle for the Lions?
I thought you wanted me to rubber stamp the DeAndre Hopkins deal to Kansas City, given what he did.
I think DeAndre Hopkins rubber stamped that sucker.
Za'Darius Smith won't move the power number, but it does make this Lions defense better. Even if he's only out there as a situational pass rusher, the Lions came into the year thinking they were going to have Aiden Hutchinson and Marcus Davenport as bookends to try and provide a little bit of the pass rush for that young secondary. Hasn't been the case with injuries, but I do think Za'Darius upgrades this defense overall. I like the move quite a bit.
All right, the Ravens added some bodies on both sides, too. They went with Deontay Johnson, brought him in a wide receiver. Also added a corner for this pass defense that needs some help to get Tre'Davious White. Where are we thinking about the Ravens? I know you already sound like you're high on the Ravens right now.
Yeah, small moves that I think will pay dividends. Deontay Johnson, familiar with what it takes to win in some of the hostile environments in the NFC North during his time in Pittsburgh. You have to imagine in a contract year, he's going to be reinvigorated. Now, how many touches he gets, that remains to be seen. And I do like the move acquiring Trey White because he doesn't have to be a lockdown corner or a true number one in this Ravens defense. You have Marlon Humphrey. You have Nate Wiggins. And if Trey White can regain even a semblance of the form that made him so dynamic in Buffalo with that surgically repaired lower leg, I think they become extremely formidable in the AFC North. That's where Deontay Johnson played, not the NFC, but that's what I get sometimes.
Yeah. We got the Commanders, a big gaping hole in the defense. Is Marshawn Lattimore enough to plug those holes in the defense?
They've been looking for a guy on the back end. Emmanuel Forbes hasn't quite paid dividends like they expected when they used a very high draft pick on him. The biggest question that I have on Lattimore, Jason, will he be healthy? If he can be healthy and on the field, he's exactly what this Commanders team needs, and I applaud them for going all in with a quarterback who's exceeded expectations in his rookie campaign, and no reason for me to believe they can't be neck and neck with the Eagles to try and win the NFC East.
All right, Thursday Night Football, we get an AFC North rivalry, Bengals, Ravens. What do you like in this one, Todd?
I'll take the dog plus the points. This was a game the Bengals let slip through their fingers when we saw the earlier matchup. Unfortunately, I had the 2.5 in my back pocket. Yes, I know the Bengals aren't the model of health, but I think offensively they'll be able to move the football against this Ravens defense. And a short week, Lamar Jackson a little bit nicked up. I think the Bengals play with a level of desperation. Give me the Bengals plus the points. Wouldn't shock me at all if they find a way to win this game outright either.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one too. Bengals plus 6.5 was one of the bets. My underdog's calling. I'm with you here. The old cliche of throw the records out, it's a cliche, except when it applies to the AFC North. And we've seen underdogs in divisional games for the AFC North since 2015 go at a 56% cover rate for underdogs. And if you take the Browns out of the equation, the other three teams cover at 68% as underdogs. So I like them here. Not 6.5 points separating these teams right now. A lot closer than you think. All right, touchdown anytime props. Todd, why don't you get us started here for week 10?
Yeah, I'm going to go off the reservation a bit and take a real long shot this week with your beloved Cowboys. No, it's not Rico Dowdell. No, it's not Cooper Rush or CeeDee Lamb. It's Kevontae Turpin, who has developed a rapport with Cooper Rush when they play on the second team. I think Turpin has a chance to be elevated to the second best pass catching option. CeeDee Lamb, we know, is a little bit banged up. Maybe we get a boost on special teams. Do shop around, though. Turpin 6-1 or greater. I'm taking a flyer that he finds pace.
Hey, spicy meatball. I'm going with Drake London, +140 out there. I know he's got the hip pointer. He was mobile afterwards. He's day-to-day. I think he's going to play here in Week 10. But due to that injury, we're kind of getting a discount on this guy, who is the number two wide receiver in red zone targets. He scored 6 touchdowns this year. He's had 4 in the last 5 games. He faces a horrible Saints pass defense that just traded away their top coverage guy. And they have 2 other guys questionable. What's left of the New Orleans defense is going to be playing man. Drake London excels against man. +140 touchdown anytime from the Atlanta wide receiver. All right, it's 2-minute drill time, and that means our best bets for Week 10. Todd, I'll get us going here. I'm going to go San Francisco, -5. It's -110 out there. Niners coming off the bye, expected to be about as healthy as we've seen them in a long, long time. Debo, Run CMC, Jennings, all kind of trending towards playing, holding a major rest advantage over Tampa Bay, too. They're playing on a short week, a letdown spot after taking Kansas City to OT, and they also played 40 minutes of defense on Monday. I like San Francisco here under the key number 6, -5.
I can't argue that with you at all, Jason. I was surprised to see that number come down from where it was 6.5 before we saw Tampa on Monday Night Football. I'm going to take a team that I said I wasn't going to back in the second straight week, but that would be the New York Jets on the road against Arizona. You mentioned a rest advantage, and that works in the Jets' favor. The run defense still leaves a little bit to be desired, but I think the Jets playing with a little bit more confidence, and they have, in my opinion, better weapons against this Arizona defense. So look for the Jets to parlay some of that momentum into another win. I'll take the Jets to get a road win at Pick'em out in the Den.
Okay, I'm going to go under 38 in Titans and Chargers. This one could be a snore, but we've got 2 very strong defenses, ranked top 10 in the EPA, ranked top 10 in the DVOA, all those sexy metrics. And they're not explosive at all on offense. They're actually 27th, 31st in success rate. That means they're going to have to snap the ball to move the chains a lot. Chargers going to be running the ball into this Titans run defense. And then we might get Tennessee getting Will Levis back. This offensive line is banged up. They are not explosive. It's going to be an ugly game. I think it stays under 38.5. Big defensive grinder.
It is all about avoiding that pivotal pick 6 for Will Levis and creating that short field, as we know all too well. I'm going to go to a total as well and go under between the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. This number got bet down earlier in the week, but now with some 47s back, I think it's right in range. This is a Bills team offensively that hasn't shown the dynamic playmaking ability for the big play. Against this style of defense, Josh Allen has struggled a bit. And the Colts offensively, look, I think we saw what they are going to be going forward with Joe Flacco. A little bit discouraging there, much to my chagrin. I think we're talking about points at a premium in a 24-20 type football game.
All right, couple unders on the go here. All right, that is it. That is the horn. That means another 600 seconds of the can. A big thanks to Todd, a big thanks to Dell, a big thanks to FanDuel Sportsbook, and of course, a big thank you to you for tuning in each and every week to the Sharp 600. A reminder, if you like what we're doing here, rate and review, like and subscribe. That allows us to expand our reach, and we appreciate that feedback. Todd, any words of wisdom for Week 10 or just life in general going forward?
Not sure about life in general. My philosophy days are probably behind me at this point in my life. But what I will say is a little bit of buyer beware. We have a number of home underdogs, none of which look really attractive, at least on the surface. But these are the kind of weeks when you get into the dog days in the middle of the season where you'll get some of these dogs playing with a little bit of a sense of purpose at home, especially within the division. So if it looks too good to be true in terms of your NFL sides, you've been warned. It's a little bit of buyer beware.
All right, good advice. We will be back next Wednesday for Week 11. Until then, best of luck with your bets. Hey, NFL fans, you can make every moment more this season with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Never waste a hunch at FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 plus and present in select states or 18 plus and present in D.C. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets will expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.